you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
All right, guys, Thursday afternoon. Welcome to the show, Believe You Me, with Luis J. Gomez, who's... Where are you, Luis? You're not next to me.
I'm in the Gomez suite at the Bisping Half Mansion. That's what it's called when anybody... Just so you know, any future guests that stay here, they should know that they're staying in the Gomez suite, which is very nice. Got a little bathroom right off the room. A little privacy, got my own shower. It's great.
I'd appreciate it if you didn't go into like details about my home, you know, in front of millions of people. They don't need to know the ins and outs of my house. You know, they don't need to know. You don't tell burglars where to go. You know what I mean? When you go into the house.
The system is yes. 6969420.
Now, welcome to the show, everybody. Thursday afternoon, we've got a big UFC 263 coming up at the weekend. Going to get into all those fights. The reason being we're not sat together by the fire pit looking directly into our crotches is because we've got Chris Weidman joining us in just under 30 minutes. So Chris is going to come in. So therefore, we're going to go through Zoom. And if you sit next to each other, we hear each other's voices coming through the microphones. Talking of voices, my voice is still destroyed. It's been bad all week. So I'm still very croaky. But how are you, Luis? I mean, I should say, how are you? How are you? It's a rhetorical question. I know how you are. You are limping. You are sore. You are whining. You are moaning. You are talking shit. You're avoiding workouts. You're doing everything you can. The rounds start. You're putting your gloves on. Like, you have an answer for everything. If I would not coach you, I'd be like, no, can't do it. You need to show that you're hungry. You need to be standing there, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, with your gloves on, ready to go. Where do you want me, coach? Put me in. What do? I'll run an extra mile. Four rounds, I'm doing five rounds. That's what I need to see from you, Luis. I've seen the opposite. I've seen little limp-along Luis. Old little limp along Lewis and his little bum leg. Okay, I can't do that. I've got a bad leg. I've been kicked in my leg. Welcome to being a motherfucking fighter. I used to get the shit kicked out of me. Go have to do deadlifts, squats, push sleds, do all types of stuff. Never once did I dream of saying, can't do that because I've got a little boo-boo. Okay, limp along Lewis, what say you now?
I'm 40, okay? And I am not a young man. And you kicked me in my leg 1,000 times, okay? Then we go back to Ruka, and Bisping's like, "Oh, hey, you're gonna spar with this guy today, Sean." I'm gonna get his name, dude. This guy was massive.
Have no professional fights.
Two and oh professional fights. Former Marine,
which is equivalent to nothing. It's still equivalent to nothing. Sorry, my mind just sees that as no fights.
He's a fucking heavyweight professional 2-0 fighter, and then this guy just. Hit so hard, he kicks me in the leg like 3 times. Everyone's just laughing at me. I'm limping all over the place, but I'm still showing up. I'm still doing everything.
Nobody laughed. Nobody was even
you
watching.
Laughed. You
nobody
laughed.
Was even watching.
Harrington no laughed.
Harrington might have done because he sees everything. He sees everywhere you go. It's like, I like Harrington. He's a nice guy, but I'm losing more respect. I've never seen somebody so infatuated with somebody. We're at Ruka. The session finishes. Lewis goes for a shower, Harrington goes at the same time. Lewis comes out of the shower, Harrington comes out at the same time. Lewis goes off for a meeting, Harrington goes off for a meeting. Lewis bends over and picks up a scrap of paper off the floor. Harrington finds another scrap on the floor somewhere. It's like, I was like, wow. Please, Harrington, for the love of God, explain to me why you chose to do a tandem shower at the exact same time that Lewis did. If you're there.
Harrington, you can speak up. I give permission.
It's rude. To be fair, I was in the shower first and then Lewis came in after.
I saw you both hovering around the men's bathroom with your towels. Like, shall we do it now? Nobody's in. No one's looking. We can go in there. We can have a little fondle. I was like, geez, Louise, guys, not a Ruka. It's a hallowed place. It's a place for professionals. If you want to fornicate, do it on your own time.
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely. And shout out to Ruka for inviting us in. Watching real fighters and then watching me, Harrington, and Brian hobble around like just fools. Like, nobody knows what we don't know what we're doing. Harrington, he wanted so badly to take the hammer and start hitting the tire with it. It was hilarious. Like, but he wouldn't do it because he was embarrassed.
Did he get the video with Cheeto? Did you get what you need, Harrington?
Yes.
Good. Good. No. Well done. Well done. He wanted to get a video for some friends of his of Cheeto Vera. He's a big deal in Ecuador, apparently. I had no idea. Apparently, Cheeto is like a fucking movie star or something in Ecuador. I'm assuming maybe they don't get too many breakout stars. So you got what you needed there. But no, have you had a good week, Lewis?
I've had an incredible week. I really have. And yeah, I am getting my ass kicked. But it's a great experience because, look, Jason Ellis isn't going to do what you guys do. It was really cool to be able to spar with you. Really cool. And it was Sean Sharaf is the guy's name. Really cool guy. Shout out to him for getting in there and kicking my ass. But it's definitely a different level than what I'm used to. And it feels like my body has been in a car accident. Like, I'm just bumped and bruised everywhere. People don't realize how much. I mean, it's literally what's going on. Like, when they say, like, you're swinging a baseball bat, like, at your leg when people throw those kicks, that's what's going on. And I don't get out of the way a lot. So I'm getting hit with baseball bats, but yeah, it's fucking,
you just need to learn to check. Like, what you need to do is, like, you got to do all the basics. It's boring, but you got to spend rounds and rounds and rounds with a partner, just taking turns, slowly throwing leg kicks at one another and slowly practicing checking them. You got to build those reflexes and all that stuff. You got to stand there on the heavy bag and do jabs. You got to do right hands. You got to do 1-2s. You know, everyone wants to dive in. I'm not just saying you, I'm saying everyone. They want to do the fancy shit. You know what I mean? Ooh, show me how to do a spinning back kick or a 7-punch combination. You know, you're never going to land a 7-punch combination. You need to start with the basics and just, you know, fundamentals. As Bruce Lee once said, Lewis, what did Bruce Lee once say? Don't do an impression.
Be like water.
No, he said, fear not the man who's practiced 1,000 kicks. Fear the man who has practiced 1 kick 1,000 times.
Well, I have practiced 1 kick like 6 times. So I think I got to really just up my practicing of that 1 kick. But I am, I promise you guys, I'm in a great mood. My body's just stiff and I'm in pain. So this is, I by the way, I get Bisping, when you used to come into the show sometimes, you were in such physical pain and you'd push through it. But sometimes it would put you in like a little bit of a down mood. That's sort of.
I'm sorry. I'm not just trying to hate on you, but that's kind of what we do. We bust balls. Do not liken my world-class training camps to this few days that you've had at the house. Don't do that. I'm sorry. I won't allow it, okay? And it's not the same thing. We went for a run this morning. Lewis came. God bless him, even though my leg hurts,
I still came. I still showed up.
You did. We should have just walked it, but I think we would have done it in the same time. However, then we get back. I said, right, okay, let's just do some circuits. We'll do some circuits. We'll go 3 times around, 8 stations. Harrison filmed. Like, one station was kettlebell swings, one was push-ups, one was clean and press, one was rows, one was abs, you know, stuff like that. 8 times, 8 stations, 40 seconds on, 20 seconds off, 3 times around. Lewis is like, I can't do the press part. I can't do anything on my leg. I've got a hernia. Oh, that's it. Lewis has now got a hernia as well.
I think I have a hernia. My abdominals spilled out of my body. He thinks I'm lying about this. We were training yesterday and it was, you know, it's at one point he's like, oh, we're going to do abs. And I just started doing some crunches by myself. My first crunch, it felt abdominal muscles, name of the show. It felt like my abdominal muscles spilled out of my body and it started freaking out. It was like thumping and I had to like push it back in. It was a goddamn nightmare. I might have heard
no,
it.
No, stop.
Sure,
no.
I know, Dr. Bisping.
I'm not a doctor. That is not what you said. You have added on that part of the story after talking to Brian for quite some time, who did have a hernia for a while. You didn't mention I just had to push it back in. There was no, I was with you. There was no talk of pushing muscles back in. Brian then came later on at lunch and was like, yeah, sometimes you have to push it back in. So now to glamorize the injury and to give you leeway for being lazy on the circuits, just throwing it out there, a little lazy on the circuits, preempted at the start of the round, you need to be ready. Lewis is putting his gloves on. Lewis is taking a drip, sip of water. At one point, he's in the house at the fridge. I had to run in after him and say, what are you doing? What are you doing in here? He's like, I'm getting a water. I'm like, fair enough. We all have them with us.
I feel so bad. Tell Rebecca, I'm sorry. I've drank 45 coconut water since I've been here.
Think those coconut waters are free, Lewis? Jesus Christ. Very expensive.
It felt, the way I could describe it, at the time I thought I was having a muscle spasm, but it felt like a ball. Like, it, dude, the muscle was freaking out. I promise you I'm not making this up, Bisping. And I still finished the ab circuit. Can I say something? Can you give me a compliment? Is there anything you've seen out of me that you can compliment as opposed to just trashing everything?
No, of course there is. Of course, I said last night to Diego, you've got better, you've improved, but you have still so much work to do that you can't say that to you because you're the other day I rolled with you for a minute, got better, haven't I? Got better. And then I've tapped you out three times in under a minute. I'm like, if I give you any kind of compliment, you're going to slack off. No, I said last night when I was at dinner with Diego last night, I was like, no, he's definitely got better. He's improved very much so. I said, it's day and night from last time you came here. I'm not going to say that to you, though, because I want you to keep training. I want you to get better. You're resting on your laurels already, Lewis, and you haven't got a laurel to rest on.
I work. See, people learn differently, right? This is very true. And this is actually a good segue for talking about your daughter graduating high school in a moment. But people learn differently. I need positive reinforcement. I need you to say, great job, Lewis. And then I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah, great job. When you say you're terrible, you suck, you're right.
Never said you were terrible. Never said you were suck. Just didn't suck your dick. That, like, Harrington's there to do that. I'm not there to do that.
That's Jason Ellis's training camp.
Yeah, well, there you go. But I'm not there to do that, buddy. I'm not there. I just, you know, I'm like, you got to do what you got to do. So I'm not here to hold your hand and tiptoe you through it. Nobody tiptoed me through it. But this is the fight game, Lewis. You want someone to kiss your ass? Oh, buddy, come on. Hey, well, good. Punch me in the face. Oh, my God, so good. It's the fight world, Lewis, right? You want to do it, you fucking do it. You don't want to do it, don't do it. I'm not going to fucking tiptoe around you and like, come on, Lewis, you're doing so good. It's not how it works in any fight gym. No fighter is going to get along like that. No fighter is going to get ahead. Maybe if you want to get, I don't know, some kind of class at school, you know, like your knitting class or whatever. Oh, that's really good. Could be a little better, but you're doing fantastic, Johnny, right? Doesn't work like that in the fight world. Get your ass kicked, get better, show up the next day with a good attitude, get on the mat and fucking work. That's it.
I am a fat comedian. I think that I've done pretty good so far, and I should be commended a little bit, especially by you, who I look up to, and you know about this whole fucking fight thing.
You've done great.
My mind hurts. My spirit hurts.
Lewis, what do you want me to do? Come on here and just kiss your ass? That's not fun. No, never. I won't do it. It's just not in my nature. You're doing good. You've applied yourself, but still, must do better. Must do better.
Must do better. That's going to be on the wall of the Bisping gym.
Must do better.
Must do better.
Anyway, moving on. Today, before we get into the fight stuff, we were talking about this before. Ellie graduates from high school today.
That's incredible.
And is it?
Yeah, it's awesome.
It seems like the minimum thing you should be doing. If you go to high school, you should be able to graduate, I would have thought, you know? I mean, I don't know. So the thing is, this is why we were talking about it. My voice is driving me crazy, by the way. Driving me crazy. Such an effort to talk. Doesn't happen in England. And Rebecca's from Australia and doesn't happen there either. So like this morning, you saw Gemma, our next door neighbor. She's the sweetest woman on earth. She came over. She's got balloons. She's got chocolate. She's got little gifts for Ellie and stuff. And I'm like, am I supposed to have my daughter a gift? Is that what you do? Should I have Ellie a graduation gift?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Well, she hasn't got one.
It should be a big one. Here in the States, like, you know what it is? It's like, obviously, it is I think it should be the bare minimum, but it coincides with you being 18 years old. You're being an adult. There's this sense of responsibility. When you go into college, because me and you weren't studious. Like, I graduated high school, but I went to college for a year and I just fucked off the whole time, right? But it's like, it's sort of like this passage in life where it's like, no, now you're really going to work. Because college is so much harder than high school, in my opinion. And yeah, it's just sort of a rite of passage.
It is a rite of passage. You're absolutely right. But it's one, as I say, if you're going to go ahead in life, and of course, people do have learning difficulties. I'm not talking about that. But if you go to school for 4 years, it is here, five in the UK, for the most part, you should. I don't know. What is the benchmark you have to hit to graduate? Is it passing a certain amount of classes, getting a certain grade?
Yeah, I think you can't fail more than one. For me, in my high school, there's a Regents diploma in New York, and then they call the local diploma. I don't know if they do it now, but the Regents diploma was like a little bit, I would say actually it's average classes and above. Honors is right. Like, you know, and then locals for sort of the dummies. So for me, I was such a terrible student, but I was like, I don't want to have a local diploma. I don't want to be looked at as a dummy. I had like an ego, and like I almost wanted to. Like my principal in high school straight up said to me in the ninth grade, he was like, you will never graduate from this high school. And I was like, yeah,
that's nice.
And it was terrible. Dude, fucking
see,
terrible.
See, at that point you want encouragement from your teachers at school. When you decide of your own back in your mid-30s to fucking mock the fight game and get involved, you're not going to get like, you're doing great, but you could do better. Right. But at school, yes. Teach as kids need taken under their wing. They need positive reinforcement. They need a teacher to, you know, that they can bond with, that they look up to, that they want to please, you know. So that teacher was an asshole.
Yeah, he was a piece of shit, dude. Fuck him. Mr. Lefevre, suck my dick. North Parkland High School. But yeah, so I almost like as a fuck you to the school, I wanted to graduate and I just did the bare minimum. And just barely graduated. Like my senior year of high school, I had to give up my lunch period because I had to make up classes that I was failing.
Yeah, I was just trying to think. Sorry. Yeah, I didn't finish either. I think I got suspended right before. I think the last 2 or 3 weeks before school finished, I think I got into a fight and I got suspended. And they were like, nah, you might as well just call it quits now, Mike. You know what I mean? Come back for your exams because there was like a bit of a break, like 6 weeks, 2 months, whatever, before you go back for your exams. You can come back for your exams, but you might as well just leave it there, you know, because you're going to get suspended anyway. We finish in a couple of weeks. So there you go. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Ellie's got her cap and her gown, which, as I said, they don't do that in England. Rebecca never graduated because she moved to England from Australia when, I don't know, a few months before they did all that stuff. And they don't do a graduation anyway. So she never finished high school, God bless her.
It doesn't seem like it was as big a deal. Like the ceremonious part of it is as big of a deal in England or in Australia or other parts.
No, but I'm still excited. Still excited to see her do it. Yeah, also, God bless
Ellie
her.
A few years ago, she was having troubles with school.
Well, I didn't want to talk about it on the podcast, but yeah. Oh,
sorry. No, you have talked about it on the podcast.
She, you know, just went through a year or so, you know, a little bit rough, but no, she's doing fantastic. She's doing great.
But well, no, I know you had said that during the pandemic and the homeschooling was something that was like very beneficial.
Yeah. I don't want to talk.
I thought it was an interesting piece of.
No, I know. She doesn't like talking about.
I had no idea. Sorry about
her private life. You know what
not
I mean?
Not a problem. So do an edit. But it doesn't seem like the ceremonious part of it is as big of a deal in England or.
Well, no, it doesn't exist. That's how little of a deal it is. Maybe it is. I mean, I've seen them when they go to college and university and they get the degrees. I see them then with the caps on and stuff and the tassels and the gowns. Looks cool. Looks great. So, and then we're going to go.
Get her a gift.
We're going to go for a nice dinner. She's got plenty of gifts. She wanted a dress for her graduation. I bought her 9 dresses last week. You know what I mean? So
she's doing costume changes.
Does that equate to, well, she wanted one dress. And then I said, I'll let you get 2. And then I sat down there at the computer. I think it was 9, 8 or 9. I don't know, but they weren't expensive, you know, so.
You're such a sucker. You really are. Like you probably can't say no to your daughter, I'm assuming.
Well, she doesn't ask for much, to be fair. And it's not only that, as a father, we have to clothe our children. Do you know what I mean? And it's not like she goes to the mall all the time and things like that, or she asks for money to go to the mall by herself. We don't do any of that. So it's been a while since I've bought her any clothes. That was the only thing. So it looks like I was being really kind and all the rest of it. But
she
I'm
was
like,
wearing like tattered homeless person's
I'm like,
clothes.
There's holes in everything. It's all, you know what I mean? You need some new clothes. So we'll do that. Then we'll go for a nice dinner afterwards. Or shall we barbecue? What do you think? Last night here, Lewis?
Well, it's last night. It is her graduation dinner. Maybe her choice.
Yeah, we'll find out what we do, but it'll be a lot of fun. So,
congratulations to Ellie. Very cool.
Thank you. We got We got Chris Weidman joining in 10 minutes. UFC 263, massive fight card this weekend. I mean, obviously that's going to dominate everything. I've seen a lot of news. Israel Adesanya, we've got Nate Diaz, we've got Leon Edwards. I mean, the fight card's insane. Davison Figueiredo taking on Brandon Moreno, fight of the year rematch last year. But we won't get into all that until I've spoken to Chris Weidman, because I'm very interested to speak to Chris and find out what he thinks on the main event. So that's why I kind of wanted him today, because
I was going to say, what if he's just in excruciating pain the whole time, just from his leg?
Yeah, he's not. I've seen him. I wanted to speak to him to get his opinion, because obviously before Chris had that nasty injury, and we'll find out how the update and the recovery is going. But before he had that, he was talking about winning that fight against, who was it? Oh, Uriah Hall. And then winning one more, then reclaiming the title. And I don't know why, but I really bought into the hype. I was like, I believe he can do it, because certainly Chris has the style. He has the wrestling. Okay, if he stayed on the feet with respect to Chris, is he, you know, he's just so far ahead in the striking department. But if he could get his hands on him, I could see a path to victory for Chris. But the poor guy.
I mean, we saw Chris Weidman able to figure out Anderson Silva, who was an extremely tricky striker. And this is also Anderson Silva in his prime. I think that's a fair comparison. There's something to be said for that. Hey, Mike, let's take a quick moment and thank Paleo Valley for supporting today's show. Look, we're all trying to do a low-carb, high-protein diet, right? Beef jerky is essential. I do it all the time. Every time I'm on the road, I stop into a gas station, 7-Eleven, I grab beef jerky. The reality is that stuff tastes like shit. There's nitrates. There's stuff they put into all these chemicals, all these preservatives. Read the back of the package. It sounds like you're like reading like a science lab's like ingredients list. That's not the case with Paleo Valley Beef Sticks. It is grass-fed beef, 100% organic, and it tastes absolutely incredible.
And the 100% grass-fed beef sticks are the only beef sticks in the USA made from 100% grass-finished beef and all organic spices. Plus, they use the old world method of fermenting the sticks so that they are shelf-stable without the use of the chemicals or the questionable ingredients that you just mentioned. Listen, here's the deal. As you said, everyone's doing. Maybe not everyone is doing. If they're not, you should be doing. You should be trying to limit your carbohydrates. I believe in today's day and age, in the modern diet, sugar and carbs are just fucking pumped into everything. And carbs really are the enemy, and sugar is the enemy. It's a terrible thing for your body. We need to try and eradicate it from our diets. And everybody, low-key, has a weird sugar addiction, you know what I mean? So I'm going off on a tangent there, but you should really think about that going forward. And so if you do that, you're going to need something to digest, something to eat, something to snack on. And that's where Paleo Valley Beef Sticks come in. Because listen, you know, you want a low carb meal, steak, salad, veggies, chicken, whatever. When you're on the go, you can't do that. You can't just go up to the barbecue and do yourself a quick meal. No, that's why you need something like a Paleo Valley Beef Sticks. Opposed to the ones in the gas station, they are full of crap. They're full of shit. They're not good for you. And these ones aren't, but they taste fantastic, which is what you want. So whether it's for your kids, whether it's for you, whether you're on the go or whether you're at home, paleovalley.com is the website that you want to go to. And Believe 15 is going to get you 15% off your first order. So grab a great snack, get it on the go. Probiotics aid in digestion and gut health as well, which is in the beef sticks. So one more time, paleovalley.com. Believe 15 is the code and you get 15% off. Okay, where were we? So it's Thursday, so we'll just hammer this one time. I reckon we'll get 9 minutes out of this. But Lewis, I saw this on George St. Pierre's Instagram yesterday, right? I'm just scrolling Instagram as you do when you get a quick minute. I see a picture of George. He's there. He's posing in front of a statue. Apparently some kind of like respected figure in Canada. I would assume when you have a statue built in your honor, you are a respected figure. George paid his respect to the respected figure, took a picture, put it on his Instagram. That's it. You scroll by, you double tap if you like it. You don't have to like it. I double tap though. I like George. I'm like, oh, that's cool. I don't know who the guy is, but whatever. Double tap, scroll by.
I triple tap.
Top story from Harrington in the notes. The top story. We got 263. We got Nate Diaz returning the first ever 5-round non-title fight. We got all kinds of shit going on. But this, according to Harrington, is the top story to discuss in mixed martial arts. GSP got a statue of himself in his hometown. Is that of him? Or is it of him?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a statue of George. Oh,
that's why it's funny.
Oh, shit. I never knew that. All right, fair enough.
What did you think it was a statue of?
I had no fucking idea.
You thought it was a statue.
I just thought it was a statue and George is posing next to it. I thought, all right, cool, whatever. Who the fuck's that guy?
I mean, what's funny, I agree. It's still a non-story, but it's if your scenario was the truth, that's a bonkers non-story.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, just George is posing next to a random dude. Oh, right. Okay, fair enough. See, it's a shit statue because I didn't think it looked anything like George. I didn't read, you know, the caption. You know, I just saw it. I like George. Yeah, George is awesome. George is awesome. You know, he's always doing something wholesome, whether it's backflips in the snow or fucking whatever it is, or posing next to his own statue. But I did honestly think that the statue looked nothing like him. Harrington, can you explain?
There's the statue.
Let's have a look. Let's get it on screen. Let's have a look. I mean, hey, who am I?
Michael, are you intoxicated? This looks just like me.
God damn. Just think, if I had beaten him, I'd have a statue in Clitheroe also that looks nothing like me.
You should still have a statue. You've done more for British MMA than George has done for Canadian MMA.
No statue.
No, that's not true. No, I'm not even positive it's true.
No, it's positive. Listen, I would know if there's a statue. If you're telling me if you had a statue of you, you wouldn't know it
no,
existed?
No, what I was saying, I don't know if it's true, is if you've done more for British MMA than George has done for Canadian MMA. That's up to
100%. 100%. So? Fuck George. Of
we
course.
Come back on the show and debate this. Who's done more for their respective countries' MMA community? That's actually an interesting debate.
Yeah, but it's a pointless debate, isn't it? You're just arguing that I'm a bigger deal than you. No, George is beating me. Come on, of course. Think about it. He was the flag bearer for Canada for years and years and years. I was the flag bearer for the UK, but I wasn't the most dominant champion. I wasn't the greatest of all time. I wasn't all these things. Andy beat me as well. So, George.
You're still probably considered the greatest British MMA fighter of all time. Not to suck your dick. I hate to compliment you right now. My body's in physical pain. My abdominal is sticking out. But yeah, you're undoubtedly the greatest British MMA fighter of all time.
Undoubtedly. All right. Well, okay. I just wanted to rag on Harrington a bit there, but fair enough.
Here we are. Just fucking sucking Michael Bisping's dick.
Go on, Harrington. You're on mute.
Just turn your microphone down even lower somehow.
Okay. So the reason that I brought that up is because a lot of people on MMA Twitter are saying that it looks like Barack Obama. So, you know, the GSP likeness when it's in bronze is a lot like a former U.S. president.
Whoa. The man gets honored. The man gets, immortalized in bronze. And all you can do is talk bad about it. So that's what he wanted us to do. He wanted us to come on and discuss it and basically rag on George's statue. And I refuse to do that,
Lewis. We won't do that. George is a legend, okay?
Harrington, he deserves more respect.
Well, Harrington, is there a statue of you anywhere? No, maybe a voodoo doll. There's probably a few Harrington voodoo dolls out there.
There's going to be one in my house.
We should sell Harrington voodoo dolls. Nah. You can do whatever you want to it. You can put pins in it, throw it down the stairs, throw it in the washing machine.
Harrington, what else should we talk about? All right, let's get into this. Let's not get into it. We're just killing time, really, before Chris gets here. But I didn't want to talk about it, but we've got 4 minutes. There's no point getting into 263 because they're lengthy discussions. But Mayweather versus Logan Paul apparently did over 1 million buys, which is, good for those guys. That's incredible. Apparently, I think we talked about this, Floyd gets 50% of the pay-per-view and $10 million and Logan gets 10% and $250,000. I'm not a mathematician, but I'm just going to say I guarantee that may equates to a lot of money.
Yeah, $25 million in pay-per-view revenue for Mayweather and $5 million in pay-per-view revenue for Logan Paul. So yeah, a lot of money. Yeah, big money. But
you know, as that relates, Dana White made an interesting comment. He said, look, listen, you know, there are spectacles. We're doing real sport. We're doing real fights, which is true. He said, imagine if Kim Kardashian wanted to come in and fight Amanda Nunes, which is kind of, you know, listen, Logan can fight and I'm assuming Kim Kardashian can't. Hot take. I'm just going to say Kim Kardashian isn't very good in a mixed martial arts ring. However, if she had a little bit of training, if she was a little bit like Luis J. Gomez, she probably wouldn't make it through one training week without bitching 1,000 times. But imagine if Kim Kardashian wanted to fight Amanda Nunes.
You're saying Kim Kardashian has more heart than me.
I'm saying Kim Kardashian could beat you on that run, even with those tits and that ass. I'm just saying.
Well, look, they're not tits. It's pecs. Fuck you, dude.
Whoa! I'm talking about Kim's tits.
I know.
But let's
I'm
get
joking.
Into your tits. No, imagine if Kim, here's what Dana said. Imagine if Kim Kardashian wanted to fight Amanda Nunes. How big do you think that fight would be? It'd be huge. There's always going to be some kind of market for that stuff. There's always going to be people that are willing to put down $50 for that. And he's right. I mean, you said it last time, and I'm just trying to kill before Chris gets on. Hopefully he's on time or even early, because I hate talking about this. But yeah, Brad Pitt stepped in there. That was a perfect example. Perfect example. People are going to pay to see that. But yeah,
there's no infrastructure there as well. So when people compare fight or pay to that, it's like, no. There's not an infrastructure built for that. There's not like celebrity boxing will always be interesting. People always want to see it. But when you're building a sport, you know, I think the UFC's done an incredible job at building a future for a lot of young fighters. It's really, you know, the other organizations exist because the UFC exists. People forget all of this.
Yeah. I tell you what, I was happy to hear this. Alistair Overeem making his return to glory kickboxing. Apparently just signed a deal there. Good for him. Obviously Overeem. I mean, it's amazing to see what he's doing. Harrington, just look up his age. I think he's younger than me, which is unreal. When I found out that Overeem was younger than me, that blew my mind, because he's been around forever. He was on the Dutch kickboxing scene, then Overeem Pride, Glory, he was the K1 champion, came over to the UFC, destroyed Brock Lesnar, and had a great career. I mean, when did he sign? I think it was like 2007, seven or eight. So seven, I think. So, I mean, that's what, a 14-year run in the organization. Now, unfortunately, sadly, got cut. That's just the way of the business. He did lose a few. And now he's gone back to glory kickboxing. I mean, you got to have respect for Alistair Overeem. If ever there was a true vet of combat sports, you know what I mean? Look at that man. You know, after all the wars he's been in, all the experience, the you know, going back almost 20 years, well, 20 years, fighting in Japan and all this. And now he gets caught. He's made money. I guarantee he's got money in the bank, and he's got a brand, and he could open a school of gyms. You know, he could train people. He could whatever. But no, what does he do? He goes and signs with Glory Kickboxing. Do you know what I mean? I mean, that just shows, it tells you about the measure of the man. Chris Weidman.
Am I on right now? What's going on?
Man.
What's up,
buddy? I wasn't sure what was happening here.
Yeah.
It's a pleasure being on here.
Look, look, now this is a professional setup. My word, you sound crystal clear, my friend.
You are not the only one with a podcast. My podcast is debuting tomorrow. Let's go.
Oh, shit.
What's it called? Plug it right up top. That's fucking awesome.
Won't Back Down with Chris Weidman.
Perfect name for it.
Yeah. It's not, we're not airing it tomorrow, but we're going to be recording the first episode tomorrow.
Oh, nice. And who's we?
And where can people find it?
Anderson Silva. Sorry. Believe it or not. Believe you me.
Hold on. So Silva. it's gonna be you and Anderson Silva, the first episode.
First episode. Yeah.
That's amazing, Chris. How was that?
Oh, we haven't done it yet. That's tomorrow morning. That's tomorrow morning. Yeah, but hopefully it goes well.
Are you nervous?
Nah, I think I'm just gonna hang out and talk to him. So we already spoke about it like a week and a half ago. He reached out and called me up and gave me some different advice, and he was awesome. He was great with this whole thing. He could have really handled this way worse than he has been, and so I really appreciate the way he's been.
Yeah. So listen, I mean, that's amazing. Good luck with it, Chris. All the best to you, my friend. Yeah. And I'm actually going to listen to that. I'm very, very interested. Of course. I mean, I would be remiss if I didn't mention it. It's almost a perfect segue. You both have, I mean, of course, you're both great guys. You're both UFC fighters. You're both former champions, but you're also both recipients of snapping fucking legs. I mean, you guys have a lot in common, a lot to discuss.
Yeah, I mean, holy shit. I mean, this is my 24th surgery I've had, and there's nothing that ever compared to this. So I got tons of questions for him because it's been pretty damn brutal, as you can imagine. Yeah, completely sucks. But I will say today, this is other breaking news. I was actually in that gym today, and I like boxed a little bit. And I figured I was going to go to the gym and probably hit the bag for like a minute and then put my leg up, elevate it, and just chill out, just be happy to be in the gym. But there was some guys around and we started like play sparring, and I'm like, man, this is awesome. It felt so good to be back in the gym. So that was a big day for me. But it's been a crazy road.
No doubt. But I just found a little segue there to bust Lewis's balls, so I can't pass it up. I was going to let Lewis jump in with a question there, but Lewis is training for a fight against Jason Ellis. I don't know if you know who he is.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so Lewis is training for a fight. And
I was on his podcast years ago.
Oh, nice.
I leg kicked him the other day, and he's got a little sore leg.
He kicked me 100 fucking times.
No, I didn't.
100 times he kicked me in my leg.
But he's got a sore leg, and he doesn't want to train. He doesn't want to train, and he doesn't want to do this. Here's Chris.
I just bitch about it. I train the whole time. I just bitch about it.
Here's Chris. Had his leg viciously snapped. And he's in the gym this morning. He's sparring people. He's not putting it on Instagram. I mean, Chris, I mean, give the man some advice. I mean, this guy's
putting a lot of
hero.
Things on Instagram. I'm trying to inspire people out here, but that I haven't put that up yet. That's going to go to YouTube. That's the good stuff goes on YouTube. You got to get over that. You know, I do remember not having any idea how to check leg kicks. I remember me and my buddy Volante. We both started training at the same time, and so we were both just as clueless as one another, especially on the feet. And so we would just leg kick the shit out of each other nonstop, and like I'm just limping out of there, you know, every single day, just like holy shit, this is terrible, and just laughing about it, but. You get used to it. You learn how to check. You learn how to check those leg kicks. That's for sure.
Yeah, I want to learn how to check leg kicks. Believe me, but he has
believe you squats. Me.
He has me doing squats. I'm like, dude, my fucking leg is gonna fall off my body. I'll do everything. Let's do whatever you want to do. Can we just work the upper body today?
So Bisping is the full time coach. Is that what you're doing now?
No. That's it. Don't put my fucking name to this. Okay. No. He invited himself to my house for a week, so I'm taking him to the gym and stuff like that. And this morning, took him through a little circuit. We were not doing squats. There was 8 stations. You know what I mean? 40 seconds at each station with 20 seconds rest in between, which is a pretty mellow regime, as you would know, Chris. And one of the stations was just a clean and press with 30 pounds in each hand. That is not doing squats.
Well, you have to do a squat. That's a part of the exercise in a clean and press is squat and then you press.
Anyway,
I hate you. So you were,
that's what you were bitching about was that moment. Am I allowed to curse on here? I don't usually cuss, but around Bisping, I feel he pulls it out of me.
Listen, if you don't fucking swear, Chris, then you're going to make me look bad, my friend.
I know. I got you.
Listen.
Yeah, you got to swear on this show. Yeah, and I'm an East Coast guy, too, so I know it's built into our vernacular to just curse. We just, for some reason, just spills out of our faces.
I know. It's crazy.
I've got a lot I want to ask you, Chris. Of course, you know, we were rivals for a long time. Now we're friends, and I wish you all the best. No, it's true. And then I remember before your fight with Uriah Hall, I was just saying before you came on, I know you were talking about, you know, making another run as being champ. You were going to go out there. You were going to beat Uriah Hall, get another big win, and then hopefully get a fight with Adesanya. I truly bought into it. I'm like, I can fucking see it. I can see it happening. He's got the style. He's got the ability, you know, and he's very, very good. Then we all know what happened. I mean, that first kick that you threw, you put so much power into that kick. Course, with what happened, there must have been so many emotions. So I'll turn it over to you, Chris. Do you want to talk me through that whole situation, please?
Yeah, I think the most frustrating part is that I'm exactly what I was saying. I really did believe I was in such good shape. I was in shape since September all the way till that fight, which is the longest I've been in shape. Without just, you know, going off completely. And it really was paying off. My weight was super low. I was feeling great in the gym, you know, sparring with different guys. And I felt super confident. And I was ready to make a next run. And then that happened. So I'm like, holy shit. I mean, I've had tons of injuries. I've had so many things I've got through. But leading into that fight, I was like, man, I feel like almost injury free, even though my body's like shit. I just was, you know, I think keeping my body weight lower was good for me. And then all of a sudden to be laying there, you know, on the canvas with my leg broken in half. It was just like, man, the pain was brutal. And then like it all setting in where I have to realize, man, this is going to be a long road to recovery. And I don't know if I'll ever even be able to fight again. There was so many like amputation and, you know, infection and fucking, yeah, I still don't have 100% feeling.
The word amputation was mentioned from a doctor.
Yeah. So I have. Oh yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So I had in my left thumb when I fought Gaslam, actually. I hit him with a left hook, and after the fight, my hand hurt. I figured whatever, maybe cast it. They went in. They realized I had tore a ligament. So I got a surgery like 2 days after that fight, and it was supposed to be like an 8-week recovery. But about 8 weeks after having that surgery done, my hand was still killing me. I went back to the doctor. And they did an x-ray and they told me the bad news that the blood supply never came back to that bone. So the bone was deteriorating. It was like they said it was such a concussive shot because I'm just such a heavy puncher that my hand literally was falling apart. So they had to take my hip bone out and put it inside my hand to take care of that joint. So now my thumb is like, it's fused, you know, that just the tip moves.
Just okay. Just a tip.
So the doctor was saying, is my mic going in and out or is that?
No, you sound better than both of us.
I'm going to cancel my podcast.
The best audio quality of any guest that we've ever had on the show.
By far. You sound better than me. You sound better than Lewis. You're putting us all to fucking shame on our show.
You're better looking than both of us.
Oh, look, Bisping doesn't want to give me that. There's no way. Bisping's a good looking dude, but he's got better hair than me.
I don't know about that, buddy. Yeah. I used to be maybe when I was younger. Anyway, amputation.
Constantly. Okay. Yeah. So I understood what not getting the blood to the bone supply means. So the doctor told me when I first got back to South Carolina, I went and met with the doctor who was going to be taking care of me moving forward. And he said that the tibia bone is the largest percentage chance of not getting a blood supply back to it. And I already had that not happen to my thumb. And obviously they took my hip bone and put it in there, but for my leg, they would just have to amputate. So to be honest, like he thinks it's healing good. Like I just had X-rays on Monday. He thinks it's healing good, but I'm still not out of the woods when it comes to that yet. That there is a chance that my blood supply doesn't come back and I'll be walking around with a peg leg.
Hey, Mike, let's take a quick second and thank one of our brand new sponsors on the show. And we really do love them here at the Believe in Me podcast. And it's called Fume. That's spelled F-U-M, but it's pronounced Fume. Fume is a natural inhaler that makes it easy to get the benefits of super plants on the go. So a lot of my friends are using this to quit smoking because they have certain cores that are specifically designed for quitting smoking, right? They have other ones as well, and I'll get into that in just a second. But it looks like a little like a vape cartridge, right? It looks like you're vaping, but it's not an electric vape. You're not inhaling any smoke. It's completely healthy. There's no negative benefits at all, and it really can help you do a lot of great things.
Yeah, Fume is a Canadian-made wooden inhaler with no electronics and cores filled only with the benefits of super plants, which, as you said, Lewis, can't speak, tripping up on my words, no chemicals added. Fume is a natural and portable tool for allergy relief, relaxation, and a great nicotine replacement with its pocket fit. Simply slide your favorite cores into your Fume. So they're the things that you get, and there's a bunch of different flavors and smells and things like that. They call it a core. Slide the core into the Fume and breathe in the benefits of Mother Nature. It really is that simple, and you've got a lot to choose from. You got the reassurance, which is lavender, lemon, cinnamon, etc. for calming stress relief and its anti-inflammatory benefits. Lewis, I suggest you have that one. You got the Bobby Lime with the lime, the lemon, the spearmint, etc. for energy and mood boosting. You got the Shield, peppermint, eucalyptus, clove, etc. for immunity boosting. I mean, we could go on all day. They have a lot of varieties, Lewis.
Yeah, I mean, the top seller is their Conquer Core, and that's the one that is for kicking the cravings of smoking. So if you're vaping and you want to give up vaping, this is a great way to do it. And honestly, even if you're not, this is also really great if you guys want the benefits of these super plants. So all you got to do right now is go to breathefume.com. That's BREATHEFUM.com. And when you check out, use the promo code BYM. You save 10% off your entire order. Go there now, check out their products, and yeah, enjoy Breathe Fume.
I wasn't going to bring this up, but it's just too good. I'm pretty sure, and of course, listen, we all talk shit. We were rivals and all that. You put a thing out of me as a pirate.
I want to talk about that. Yeah,
you put a thing out as me as a pirate once because of the one eye, and I'm like, this motherfucker's got a peg leg. He's going to be fucking limping around. If ever there was a pirate, oh my God.
Oh my gosh, yeah. That's karma. That's karma. But hey, I remember after I beat Gaslam, I was desperate to get a title fight with you. So I went on the mic. I talked shit about Bisping. I forgot everything I said. But I'll never forget when I was – and you got me bad because I felt terrible. I'm usually the good guy, you know. But I had to do what I had to do in order to try to get the fight with you. So I remember the day after, we're in a bar, and it's me, Stipe, Volante, a bunch of other people from the UFC. And I'm on Twitter, me and you going back and forth. And they're now I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be honest with you, they were helping me. It's all Stipe's fault. He was Stipe. The one I made fun of your eye. I said something about your eye, and you came back with the best thing. You were just like, you know, that you're going to make fun of a fighter's injury. Like, how dare you? But you made me feel so bad. I'm like, I'm a piece of shit. I fucking Stipe, you fucked me. He's right. I should have never mentioned the eye thing. But now I have a peg. I hope you.
You have a peg leg, and that's karma. Don't mind.
Yeah.
Stipe is dead to me. Stipe is dead to me. Okay, Stipe, it's over. Lose my number.
It's all Stipe's fault. No, Stipe might have been UFC staff too, but at the end of the day, they did all love you. We were just all fucking around. But
yeah,
then,
nah.
Did I go too far? I got some drinks in me. Fuck, nah, he's upset now.
Nah, you're good, man. That I knew that was the way to handle it. Rather than come back and you and all the rest of it, I'll go another angle to try and make you feel bad.
Worked. It worked. Yeah, it still bothers me. That was the lowest I've ever stooped, and you fucking caught me in it.
Yeah, well, I got you. Good.
I was hoping you just came back harder, but you fucking didn't.
Hey, all's fair in love and war, my friend. So, yeah, so listen. So, true. Fingers crossed. There's going to be no amputation. Or let's just
good.
Yeah, you'll be good.
Not toes crossed.
Yeah, yeah.
not so, toes crushed.
So what is the plan, Chris? You want to get back in there?
Yeah, I mean, the plan for me is, to be honest, like at first it was like, man, I don't know what the hell is going to happen. But now that I'm progressing, and also the amount of people that have reached out to me with their own stories, and people that are like, you know, so many people are praying for me and just, you know, tons of thoughts and prayers and support. I've never had this much love before, and I want to get back to my old self if possible, and just inspire all those people and show that obviously what happened to me is insane, but you could come back from it. Positive attitude, hard times don't last, and all those phrases that you love so much.
Well, let me ask you a question. Not to be morbid, but let's say it doesn't come back, right?
You got to believe to achieve.
You got to conceive, believe, achieve. Lewis, you're doing the opposite right now. You're going doom. Go he's dooming and glooming.
Go with the doom. Go ahead.
He's not conceiving and believing.
I'm going to dump this water on my head.
He's dooming and glooming. But go on. Doom it up, Lewis. But,
so what's the plan, though? Like, if for some reason, if you couldn't come back to MMA, what's the plan for the future then? Because you have to look at that. The reality is, right? That's a very real thing I'm sure you have to think about.
Well, today I was on my feet and I felt good. So I think I'm going to be able to come back. I'm way further than I thought. I'm 6 weeks out, literally 6 weeks out, and I'm fucking got boxing gloves. I'm in the gym. So I do think I'm going to come back. If I don't, I mean, listen, I'll figure it out. You know, I'm hoping that if I was successful in one thing, I could figure out a way to be successful in other things. And, you know, I got my YouTube channel going. I got the podcast going, and, we'll see what else comes up. Some real estate stuff. I'm definitely the type of guy who focuses on one thing hard at a time. And it's hard for me to do multiple things. And when the time comes and my career is over, I'll figure something out. And I'll dive in 100% and I'll try to become the best I can at it.
Well, I'm sure that we will see you back in there, Chris. I know you're a determined man, and it looks like everything's going well. I saw the video of you. I don't know what it was you were doing. Was it your football team or something? You pretended you were on the crutches, then you threw the crutches away.
NHL hockey team.
Hockey,
Islanders. They just won the series, so they're moving on to the semifinals of the NHL.
Okay, It looks from that video, it looks like you're recovering fantastically. But for me, believe it or not, and going on about retirement and things like that, but the reality is at some point we do have to retire. When my eye happened, that kind of forced me to start trying to start other avenues. So you never know. Obviously, you're doing the podcast now, and it just makes you think, you know, shit. Mm. It makes you realize that it's not going to last forever, because I'm sure you're like me. I was all in 100%. Mm-hmm. And the thought of retiring and stopping doing that, which you've done for so long, it is kind of intimidating, scary, you know, it's worrying.
Absolutely. You know, I think what we do, like as a fighter, I love this so much. And is there something else that I'm going to love as much as this? You know, it's hard to fathom. But yeah, it is a little scary, but I also have confidence in myself that no matter, you know, what ends up happening, it's, you know, I'll be great at whatever I want to do.
So I mean, look, you're recovering, obviously. Do you have any sort of like timeline for recovery? And so what does the recovery kind of look like? What are you doing, sort of physical therapy, I'm assuming? And
yep. Yeah. So right now I go to the physical therapist 3 times a week, and they work with the big thing right now is getting ankle mobility back, so I could bend my foot the right way and learn, you know, to walk without a limp. And to try to be on my feet as much as possible, because the more I'm on my feet, the more weight bearing, the more likely the bone's going to heal. And so that's why I'm really pushing it and probably doing more than what people expect, is because I know that if I push through the pain now, it just means that there's more blood getting to that area and it's more likely it's going to heal.
You hear that, Lewis? You got to push through the pain. Got to push through the pain.
I'm going to show you guys my x-ray.
Please.
I haven't posted this yet. This just came out this Monday.
Push through the pain.
I just got this on Monday.
You just push through the pain.
I honestly wish we had Weidman on before we worked out this morning because I'm so inspired right now. I want to go push through the pain.
Let's go. Squats all day, baby. Same here. I wish, because otherwise when I was out, I said, like, are you fucking serious? Weidman snapped his leg and he's still sparring.
Yeah, but Weidman's inspiring me with his words and his stories. You're like, oh, you're a pussy. Come on, you little pussy bitch. And I'm like,
I never said that once. Let's take a look. Let's put it to the left a bit.
Can you guys see that?
Oh, no, I see it.
All right, so that's where we're at right now. You see the rod going down that one bone. That's my tibia bone. So it's still fractured right in half pretty much, but there is some healing going on.
Yeah.
And that fibula bone, the one that looks completely like it's not healed, the little one right here.
Yeah.
That is still just moving back and forth. And apparently that's going to like create scar tissue and then cartilage and then bone's going to bring it together. But with all that being said, like I'm up on this leg every single day. It's kind of crazy to me that really, it's just the rod holding my leg together.
24 surgeries.
I'm going to show you one more. Yeah, 24 surgeries.
24, Chris, that's insane.
Yeah, when you complain about your knees, I'm going to be a knee replacement guy like you too soon. And then this is the other thing that's going on. You see that little bone fragment by the tibia?
Yep.
See how it's just like kind of hanging out?
Yep.
That is like, it's called a butterfly fracture. Mm-hmm. They may have to take that out if it becomes an issue. But that the bone is still healing perfectly strong. He's not worried about that being like a long-term issue, but that might be something I have to take out of there. But
you know,
no reason for me to bring it up. It just boggles my mind that I'm up and doing things, and that's actually what my leg looks like.
So you just mentioned right there that you're going to be a knee replacement guy in the future. And the only reason, because I wasn't going to say this to you because it's none of my business, but you did put like some MRI or some medical stuff online. Yeah. And my knee doctor messaged me and he said he's gonna need a knee replacement in a few years. So did you already know that?
Yeah. So before this surgery, my right knee, I was like,
oh, the poor bastard. I'm not telling him, he just snapped his leg. And my doctor's like, he's gonna need a knee replacement. Send him my way, cha-ching. No, I'm kidding, Dr. Moore's the man.
My knee has been shot for a long time. Before I even started fighting, when I was in college wrestling, I started having seven surgeries just on this one knee. And it's all like the lateral meniscus would pop into the joint, it would lock out my knee, and then I'd be stuck in a surgery. And that started in 10th grade. And then throughout college, it was always a nightmare. I had to get a bunch of surgeries and then going into fighting. So I can't, like, you know, flexion where you bring your heel to your ass?
Yeah,
I can't do that. I haven't been able to do that since I started fighting. And I would pay any type of money to be able to do that again in my life. Like, it's all the different positions. Like, you get on a takedown and the guy pushes into you and you don't have that pain going back. I would do anything to get that back.
Or at jiu-jitsu when they all sit on their knees.
They sit on their shins
and they sit back with their hands on their thighs and they all look so respectful.
Yeah, I can't do that.
So zen. I'm going to sit on my ass. And then the other day, remember, Lewis, at Ruka, there was that guy, the physiotherapist, Webb. Yeah. And as you said, the flexion of bending the knee in, he's forcing it in. I'm like, he's like, just go with the pain. I'm like, no, dickhead. I've had two knee replacements. It's impossible to go that far. Yeah. Anyway.
So, even in college, like, they could not get it to my ass. And they thought it was just scar tissue and stuff they were pushing.
They couldn't get it to your ass in college?
Weird. Even in college, because I already had arthritis. Yeah, there you go. Well,
sorry, I couldn't resist.
I just picked up on that. I'm being serious here.
I'm sorry.
But the issue is that which I found out later, is I have osteophytes, so basically bone growth that grew behind my knee joint. So when they try to push it and I try to, like, you know, practice trying to make that more flexible on my own, I'm pushing through pain. It was really like bones pushing into tissue because the bones start growing behind my knee. So it's not really possible or good for me to even be doing. And I would love to get that cut out, but apparently those osteophytes are there for a reason, and there's a chance they just grow right back. And it's a crazy surgery to go behind the knee and cut through the hamstrings and stuff. So I've had to just fight like that. That is one of the things I'm worried about when I get back to training, is my knee was shot to begin with. Now, and there was days in this last like 9 months before this fight, I felt my knee never felt better. And I think it was the diet and just staying in shape. But for years, it's always been like, if I start warming up, my knee, I get like sharp pains. I start like trying to bob and weave and like, you know, move my head. I'm like, fuck, or load up a right hand, like slip and rip. I get like a sharp pain in my right knee. It's fucking, it's always been a pain in the ass. So I'm just, one of the concerns is how does my knee react to the titanium rod going through the knee joint, which messes up people's knees. Yeah. So I'm hoping that's not going to be something that's insane to deal with. I am getting I am going out to Medellin, Colombia to do the stem cell therapy. I'm going to give that a shot. I'm excited about that bio accelerator. And I don't know, eating. I'm trying a new diet right now. I'm doing that GSP diet, the carnivore. Yeah. I just got off the phone with this doctor. It's not. I'm not doing the carnivore. I'm doing the animal based diet where you get fruits and you get red meats and fish and all that stuff, but no carbs, no vegetables.
Sorry, Lewis. I just signaled to Lewis to ask the next question, but you're coming back, Chris. You're training like an athlete. You're doing everything. You're getting stem cell. You're going out of your way. You're doing a special diet. You're preparing for the comeback.
Yeah, I am. I'm trying to give myself the best shot of, you know, doing what I believe I could do. I mean, I felt so good before this last fight, and I would hate to see it just, you know, wither away because of this. So I'm giving myself the best shot, and we'll see what happens. If I get back to the gym and like it's my body's telling me this is just not an option, then it is not an option. I'll figure it out. But I'm pretty confident I'll be good.
Well, all right. So now best case scenario, what's your timeline? How would you want to come back? Who would you want to see? I mean, what was it? Anderson Silva was out. I believe it was 16 or maybe 18 months. Which was crazy. When I found out that Anderson Silva was only going to be out 16 months, I was very, very impressed. Obviously, that's probably the goal, and that's why you're having him on your show to talk to him about it. But give me the best case scenario now and sort of how you see the timeline of your comeback.
Man, it's such – I don't really have like a timeline set out for me yet. It's just kind of taking one day at a time. I didn't realize – so when I spoke to Anderson Silva, he actually told me that he went back to the gym at 4 months, and I didn't think there was any chance of me going back to the gym at that time, and that was just like a week ago. Mm. And now I'm back in the gym at 6 weeks. So I don't know what the hell is going to happen. Like a lot of it is just mental, and that's what he was saying too. A lot of it is just mental. There's a lot of pain when you get up on your feet. You know, the blood starts flowing down there. All my blood vessels are shot in my leg because the bones, you know, were fucking whacking around everywhere in there. And so it's pretty painful. But if you're able to get through that and deal with it mentally, I think I'm going to be all right. I mean, I'm in the gym at 6 weeks. We'll see. I don't know when I'm going to be able to like really move around the way I want to in order to be in a fight.
You're saying you're roughly three times as tough as Anderson Silva.
Now listen, Anderson Silva's coming on my podcast tomorrow. Hopefully he doesn't cancel on me. And man, I give Anderson Silva so much credit the way he's dealt with this with me. He could have been a prick. I mean, he could have killed me. He could have killed me. And there hasn't been really any negative stuff with me getting injured. Like really, I got so much love, but like a day after my surgery, I'm on all the painkillers. I go on Twitter and right away they have, look at the difference between the way Anderson Silva, the way Uriah Hall reacted and the way Chris Weidman reacted when Anderson Silva's leg broke. And that pissed me off because, if you watch the full video, I had no idea his leg broke. I didn't fathom that. I didn't see that ever in the UFC. I know one guy had happened to, but I never thought I broke his leg. I just thought I checked it good. He was in pain, and I was winning the fight pretty good before that. So I just thought he was done. And then I run around, I hear him screaming, and then I'm like, oh shit! Like I noticed he broke his leg. I helped his coaches. I felt terrible.
Yeah, but Chris, that was very different, right? Because what happened with Anderson Silva, the magnitude of the fight was very different. And you had every right to celebrate, you know, because not only had you just beaten Anderson Silva, the man that was at that moment in time, seemingly unbeatable, and everyone just regarded him as the greatest fighter ever, and he was just knocking everybody out, making it look easy. So not only have you just dethroned Anderson Silva, you've just become middleweight champion of the world, right? Yeah. And regrettable circumstances as to how it happened, but that still doesn't change what happens to you. And yeah, okay, you went and you had your victory lap and you did what you did, but you still went down and paid your respects, you know. But regarding what happened to you, come on, who's not going to celebrate in that moment?
Being on the other side of it now, having my leg fractured, if I would have seen your right hole running around the octagon super happy, I would have been pretty hurt about that. I would have been pissed. Obviously, completely different fights, and I agree with what you're saying. But if I would have known that his leg broke, there's no way I should have been celebrating, because especially after having that happen to me, the amount of pain and the amount of hours and issues that you're going to be having for such a long time is just insane. And I wouldn't wish that on anybody. I honestly have some regrets. Like, I remember, like, afterwards and talking about even checking the leg kick, and, like, you know, he kicked me in the first fight. I don't even like the fact that I was even talking like, you know, I did something good, even though, just because I just know what he went through, you know, and it's just fucking, it's terrible. So I remember, and this is just me being honest, like, and it kind of paints me like I'm a sleazebag with whatever, I was younger. So now I'm a good guy. But I remember, like, fans trying to get me to take pictures with me checking their leg kicks. Like, that's what they wanted me to do after that. And I would say no. I would always say no. And then as time went on, they kept asking, and the next thing I know, I was taking some pictures with my leg up. And I regret that too, because it's not something that is, you know, should be taken lightly.
Yeah, but we all learn as we get older. You know what I mean? Jeez Louise. I mean, everyone knows I used to be an asshole, but I used to be a different person when I was younger.
Used to be.
Yeah, well, it is what it is.
Squats, baby. Let's go.
All right, so let's get off the leg. Chris, we wish you all the best with the recovery.
Thank you. Obviously, you
were planning on working your way to a fight with Israel Adesanya. Mm-hmm. He's fighting this weekend against Marvin Vettori. Yep. I think the writing on the wall is, everybody knows, if Marvin's going to win this fight, he's going to try and take him down. Now, he's not anywhere near the accredited like a wrestler that you were, but he has got effective takedowns, and we've seen him use that against Kevin Holland. That was how he won the fight. And again, Kevin Holland's big, tall, rangy guy. Mm-hmm. Give it to us. Give us your breakdown. How do you see this fight playing out? Who do you think is going to win? What are some of the X factors?
Yeah, so I did a breakdown for ESPN with Akimoto on this fight. So I watched the fight a few times. I broke it down. I just think, the recipe to beat him is exactly what you said. He needs to close the distance, keep his feet underneath him, and you know, get him the respect to stand up, and then eventually get the takedowns and be able to control him. But I just don't know if he's doing that for five rounds against Adesanya. I know he did it with Kevin Holland, but Adesanya, I do think, is better in the grappling department. I think he's stronger physically than Holland is when you get into a wrestling situation. And I think that plays a big part in this. I think Vettori is the bigger, stronger guy when it comes to grappling. And I think you watch that for the first fight, he got him in the clinch. He's pulling his back in and he just manhandling him, but he was having trouble with technique on getting him down. And so I think if he worked on his technique a lot, and he's changed a lot since then, I think he's definitely going to get it to the ground. I just don't know if he could control him for five rounds and not get exhausted, you know, because every round you got to get back to your feet. Adesanya is so dangerous on the feet. And if you stop, you know, moving forward and being super aware of every punch that's coming at you, and then still focused on getting takedowns, if you're too tired, it's going to get ugly. You start getting desperate for takedowns. I think Adesanya is going to end up picking him apart.
Mm. Is there somebody that you're rooting for in the fight?
No, not really. I want to see a good fight. I want to see Vettori like throw combination punches and get in on the inside and try to drag it to the floor and be smart on the ground. And hopefully not. I just want to see a good competitive fight. I'm not rooting for anybody.
Or better question, I should say, who would you rather fight?
Oh, Adesanya. For sure. Yeah. Just because the hype behind them, like he really has like, even especially before the Blackwoods fight, but still now in the middleweight division, he's kind of dominated, you know, most of the guys, and people think he's unbeatable. Like, I like that. I like when, you know, I mentioned to a random person in my neighborhood, hey, I might be fighting Adesanya. They look at me like, oh, you're crazy. I love that. Yeah. So that's what drives me. So I would love a fight with that. Like Vettori, not too many people even really know him yet. I mean, he did talk a lot of shit about me, Vettori. He was trying to fight me like less than a year ago. It's amazing what he's done with his career. Now he's not talking about me anymore.
Vettori talks shit about everybody, though.
Yeah, he's, you know, crazy.
What I mean? Yeah, fair play. He's doing his thing. Yeah. I was saying this, Jan Blachowicz, and I want to ask your opinion. Obviously, you know, you're a far, far superior wrestler than I ever was. I never wrestled a day in my life.
Now your son's a college wrestler.
Oh, yeah.
It's got to be in the blood.
He's doing fantastic. No, but I learned a little bit through MMA, but that was it. But I wasn't a wrestler. Yeah. But I think Blachowicz, the key to victory for him, obviously, was those takedowns in rounds 4 and 5. But it was because they were kind of in the open, not against the fence. Against the fence is way easier to defend the takedown and way easier to get back to your feet if the fence is there to lean on. Yeah. Blachowicz took him down in the center of the octagon. So obviously, if you time that perfectly and you run through, you're going to go down. And getting back to your feet, as I said, is much more difficult. What do you make of that?
No, I agree with you. I think if Vettori, so Vettori has I'm like this analysis. I got this analysis breakdown all through my head because I was doing it for ESPN. But like he does throw.
Go ahead, let's hear
he
it.
He throws
stealing
like
stealing my fucking job.
A lot of times, a lot of times he's doing the like just a straight left hand. You know, he just throws one punch at a time or just a left kick. He's always just kind of just throwing that southpaw left, and. Adesanya's a longer guy, so a lot of times his weight as he throws that is off. He misses, and now Adesanya's going to tag him. So I'd like to see him be able to, just throw that into, the right hook and into the left hand again, and then take him down in the middle of the octagon. If he could do that, it would be a great fight to watch. But I do think it's going to be a tough fight for him. I think it's going to be tough. Adesanya, he's really good on his feet. You know, he's so diverse with his striking, and his feints are ridiculous.
They are.
All right, we have a lot of our fans are gambling addicts, so we need an official pick from Chris Weidman, and we're going to do Bisping.
What's the odds on this? What's the odds on this fight?
Harrington, please.
No idea. Harrington, do you have the odds?
Adesanya is definitely a favorite.
He's got to be a huge favorite, to be honest.
I'm going -160.
Ooh, let's see if he can predict the odds.
Is he pulling it up?
-160. He's got to be something like that. Yeah, I think 160 is a good pick. No. I think he's a good favorite, but nothing crazy.
Nothing crazy. I don't.
Is Harrington alive?
I guess that he's a -200 favorite.
-200.
That's what I'm gonna guess.
Oh wow. Okay. Oh, that's what he guessed. All right. So we're not finding out. Oh, -260. Holy shit! I'm way off. Wow. I guess, man. I think the money's on Vettori. You got to put the money on Vettori. Smart money on Vettori.
Hey, because it's not out of this world. Vittori's a big guy. He hits hard. He can take him down, and he's confident, so.
We just saw Israel Adesanya lose. There is a path to victory for Vettori if he's really disciplined. And he is. There's no way. This is the exact game plan was laid out for him. This is going to be exactly what he's been drilling and training. So I think he has a way better chance than the odd makers are giving him.
And Chris, he did have a very similar fight just his last fight. He's got tons of momentum coming into this. So, yeah, I mean, I see it. Was he plus 180?
Let me ask you this, Chris. Obviously, we start our mixed martial arts careers undefeated. Plus
220.
Plus two, it might be worth a few bucks.
I'm just
a little wild card. I think Adesanya wins. I really do. I think he beats him. But I think Vittori's gonna have some moments in the fight. I think he'll get a takedown here and there. I think he might land a few shots here and there. But Adesanya, honestly, he's pretty awesome. He's not pretty awesome. He's bloody unbelievable to watch. Yeah. He's incredible what he can do. Yeah. But we start our mixed martial arts careers undefeated. What did you get to? I got to 15. What did you, something similar 30, for yourself, 30, right?
14, 15. Yeah. 15 and 0. Yeah.
14, when I was undefeated, I thought there's not a man on this planet can beat me. But then, of course, you learn the hard way that there is. Do you know what I mean? And that bubble gets burst. Do you think that's going to have any impact? I don't think it will on Adesanya because the way he lost and stepping up a weight class to Jan, it was a decision in a relatively close fight. But do you think that's going to be a factor at all?
Yeah, no, I think I don't. Based on what he said after the fight, I think he handled the loss great. And he's lost before in kickboxing, so he knows the deal. I don't think he thought he was invincible. I think he understood the reality of the situation. I don't know, but you just come off of a loss, even though it's against Blachowicz, who was a weight class up. He took that chance, all credit to him. He did lose, and so I don't know if confidence has wavered a little bit. You got Vettori coming off multiple wins now. You have a little bit more confidence with that. So I don't know, maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
Anything else? What else are you excited for this weekend?
What else? Nate Diaz. What? We got Nate Diaz fighting Leon Edwards. That's a sick fight. I feel like I love Nate Diaz. I think everybody kind of loves Nate Diaz, but I do think it's a tough fight for him. Leon Edwards, that kid is tough. He's just great technique. You know, he doesn't really mess up.
I'll be honest, well-rounded. I'm kind of nervous. I'm kind of nervous for the next time I bump into Nate Diaz. It doesn't happen very often, but now and again I do. Right?
Yeah, I don't want to pick against him either.
Yeah, no, but I've done that publicly.
You're Bisping. You get away with it.
No, I know, but I didn't mean my words, okay? I said on BT Sport, and this morning I'm sat on the couch, I'm scrolling Twitter, and the headline is, Bisping says Leon Edwards is going to make a mockery out of Nate Diaz. And I'm like, no. I'm like, that's a bad headline. And then I read the article, and I did give Diaz a lot of props, but I did say that. He's going to make a mockery. He's too big. He's too strong. He's got no weak areas, yada, yada, yada. And I'm like, oh, God, that's
Isn't that crazy what they do with the titles?
I hate it. The clickbait. The Diaz army is going to be coming for me.
Bro, they are. Be careful. Are you going to be at the fights?
No, I'm going to be on my couch, beer in hand. Yeah. Avoiding all of them with the greatest of my ability. All right, guys, let's just take a quick second to hear from hempfusion.com. You know the deal right now. Hemp Fusion is a provider of some of the best quality CBD, which is totally organic on the market at really, really competitive prices. And of course, we all always have a code for it to take a little bit off. But everybody always talks about how important a good night's sleep is. And as we know, sometimes there's factors that get in the way of that. Who knows? Maybe you're stressed out. Maybe a little boo-boo. Maybe you've had a leg kick at sparring that a regular fighter would ignore, but it's keeping you up in the night. Well, that's okay, because that is where Sleep Support from Hemp Fusion comes into play. Sleep Support blends 10 milligrams of CBD, terpenes, omega, black pepper, GABA, clove oil, and together they unleash the entourage effect, which will deliver a beautiful, peaceful night's sleep. And when you wake up in the morning, you're going to feel fresh as a daisy. You're going to feel good. You're going to want to get out of bed and go for a run.
I used the Sleep Support last night, slept like a baby, even though my leg has been killing me. I used the pain relief cream, half your jar, I think I've used so far since I've been here.
Yes.
Yes.
You've been using a lot of that. No. The sports pain relief balm is fantastic. Okay. Rebecca fell off a horse yesterday. Mikey's going to be off to the knacker's yard at this rate because Rebecca fell off the horse. Fortunately, the sports pain relief balm from Hemp Fusion is... It's the best I've ever used. Yep. No, it really is. That's a bold claim, and it sounds like it's like an aggressive ad sale. You know, but I'm telling you right now, if you've got those little bumps and bruises, the sports pain relief balm is one of the best you'll ever use. What you've got to do is go to the website. They've got all kinds of products on there, and of course, we've got a great code for you. Hempfusion.com is the website you need to go to. Use the code COUNT. You're going to get 25% off. And free shipping. I was going to say, what more do you want for shipping? We want it free. Guess what? You've got that as well. Go on the website. There's all kinds of great products. Honestly, there's a vast array of products. You'll find something that you need. Hempfusion.com is the website. And COUNT is the code. Okay, where were we? So, Chris, you're living in South Carolina now.
South Carolina. That's it, man. Loving it out here. It's beautiful.
You moved out of the East Coast. You traitor.
Well, no, it's still east. It's still the East Coast. But it's not.
That's the South.
Yes.
It's on the east.
That's true. You got the guy from England telling you that.
He was a fucking New York guy. There's a thing about like New York, New Jersey MMA. I feel like the West Coast guys always got more respect, and there was like a thing about all the
this
guys.
This is not 90s hip hop, okay?
Yeah. You got the Bloods and the Crips going at it.
I can't believe that you moved out of Long Island. That's crazy. Know.
Yeah, so my sister moved out. So my sister actually married one of the boys' brother, I don't know, like 5 years ago, and they have two kids now. And so my parents were talking about eventually moving down there and getting a house. And so my wife started doing some research. Every time we went down south, we loved it, you know, but, you know, I never thought I was ever going to leave Long Island. But once my family started talking about moving down there, and my kids are still young, if we were ever going to move, the time is now. Mm. And Long Island is just so expensive. You know, and like your kids, if kids graduate from college, they have to live with their parents for years, you know, even if they get a good paying job, you know, with their college degree, it's just, it's not affordable. I think if you have kids and you're out in South Carolina, you have way more, they have way more of an ability to make it on their own. You know, they could get a house pretty much right out of college.
Yeah, same out here, Chris. The house prices are just absolutely ridiculous. And obviously, I don't want to live in California my whole life, but we are stuck in the US. Great place to be stuck, by the way. But the kids are older now. When we came out here, they were young. Callum's at college. They're never going to leave, you know. So that means we're staying here for life as well.
So, you're never going back to England, though. That's out of the question.
I would love to, but we're never going to leave the kids. You know what I'm saying?
Well, the kids don't want to go.
No, do the hell. Their life is here. And I say I would go back, and I would, but also we have a fantastic life here, and it's great, and we have a great time. But I went to Greenville. Is that South Carolina or North Carolina?
That is Greenville is South Carolina. That's like
I called a fight.
Hour 45 minutes from me. That's where Wonder Boy lives.
Right. Yeah, now. I called a fight in Greenville, and I just loved it. I went for a run. You got that little river by the town center. The weather was beautiful. And I was like, oh my God. Because everywhere I go, because I hate where I live. Where I live is just a suburb. It's shit. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But everywhere I go, I'm like, we're moving here. And I was in Greenville and I'm running through. I'm like, we got to move to Greenville. And I'm looking at property. It's cheap as hell. She's into horses. I'm like, bro. Yeah. We're moving to Greenville.
Yeah, yeah, there's horses everywhere.
We got tons of horses out here. I love horses too. So,
yeah.
Hell yeah.
It's a different vibe though, right? What's the biggest difference between South Carolina and Long Island?
Well, there's way less of the Italian food and the pizza and the bagels. But there's a lot of New Yorkers who moved out here and they opened up businesses. And some of them actually ship the water from New York.
For the pizza,
They don't ship it. They truck it. And for the pizza and the bagels. Yeah. So there's stuff that's competitive.
So it tastes exactly how it tastes in New York.
I mean, it's like a medium. It's like a. I feel like the best stuff out here is like average, good Long Island slice, New York slice. It's some of the best stuff here is kind of comparable to like the average stuff there, which is doable. I'll take that. First of all, that stuff's bad for you. I'm on a special diet now, so I don't need any of that. But
yeah. So hold on. So I, as you're both New Yorkers, but I feel like I'm going to get a better answer from you, Chris. When I'm in New York, because I hear about New York pizza. And I'm like, it's okay. But I'm assuming I'm getting it from the worst place possible, whatever. But where should I go and get a slice of pizza?
My favorite place in all of New York is this place in Brooklyn, Coney Island, Spumoni Gardens. LMB Spumoni Gardens. It is insane. It's a little different. You know what a Sicilian slice is?
I have no idea.
The square slices.
Oh, yeah.
They're thick. But this has the cheese first, then sauce, and then more cheese on top. And it just melts in your mouth. You ask a lot of guys, anybody from New York, really. Have you heard of L&B Spumoni Gardens?
Lewis?
I don't think so. No, I haven't.
Where are you from?
I lived in Manhattan for 20 years. I just moved out to Jersey like 6 months ago. I'll tell you right now, the best pizza that I've had in Jersey is a place called Tony Bologna's, which is wild. But it's like specialty pizza, dude. We had it in Atlantic City. It looks like such a shithole when I walked up to it. I was like, this is going to be terrible. I had the best pizza I've ever had. I had an elote slice. They have all these like crazy slices, but New York pizza is different. That specialty shit is not what New York is about. New York is about a good slice.
The fresh slice. The one bite challenge.
My favorite bite of pizza.
You know the rules.
Favorite bite of pizza in New York is Ben's Pizzeria, McDougal Street, right by the Comedy Cellar, their grandma slice. Best bite of pizza in New York.
I love the name Tony Bologna. That's great.
That's great.
I love it.
That's a good one. Have you tried Mark Henry's? He's got a good pizzeria out in New Jersey.
I hear it's amazing.
I'm getting so hungry. I'm dying.
I'm starving. I don't know if we've mentioned it enough times on the podcast, but we ran and then we did circuits today. And I'm starving.
Got the metabolism going.
Chris, you got a little bit of time?
Yeah, no, I'm good.
Okay,
my kids. Oh yeah, no, we're good. We're good.
Screw the kids. Never mind the kids. Let's go through the main card real quick. Seeing as we've got you on, we'd love to have your insight, and we'll make some predictions and see where we end up. So
let's do it.
And if you're not familiar, just say, because obviously, I'm sure you're not. Studying every fight, and there's no shame in that. But Paul Craig from Scotland, predominantly he was known as a grappler. Had a couple of bad losses in the UFC, but then he pulled out some amazing submissions in the last few seconds.
Him and Shogun had like a crazy fight, I think, twice.
Him and Shogun had two crazy fights, and he went forward and shocked the world and just put it on Shogun right from the opening bell. Anyway, he's taking on Jamal Hill. I believe Jamal's undefeated. He's a tall guy. He's explosive. These two don't like one another as well. There's a little bit of shit talk going on this week. I'll start with you, Chris, and I'll go to you, Lewis, but I'm going to go with my guy, Paul Craig. Because I don't want the Scottish coming after me, mate. You know what I'm saying? So I've got to go with Paul Craig. I think Paul Craig's going to get a submission. I think Jamal may knock him down and he'll follow him down, get a little excited. Then Paul's going to pull out a triangle or something. But Chris, I'll start with you. How do you see this fight going down?
Yeah, I honestly, Paul Craig, I've watched fight the guy, Jamil Hill. Is his name Hill? You said Jamal Hill?
Jamal Hill, yeah.
Jamal
yeah.
Hill. Honestly, I don't know anything about him. I like the Scottish accent, so I'm going to go with Paul Craig.
Absolutely, Chris. Lewis.
That's amazing. You got that
down. What do you say, Chris?
William Wallace.
Lewis, how you see this fight going, dude?
Bisping, there's a whole compilation of Bisping impressions. He'll do them for you. Just literally name any of them. He'll throw them out there.
Really? Well, who's that? Let's make him do
I can't do impressions. I can't. I get stupid, carried away in the moment, and we're doing a podcast, so I think my shit don't stink, and I just start talking in stupid
voices. You do
Monty
voices. Python stuff?
No. But I can't do impressions. I can't. Bisping, I can do
your Jamaican.
Scottish.
Give him your Jamaican.
Right about now, man, you know. See, that's it.
You know what? I'm going to propose a Bisping.
Probably,
hey, I give you 100% effort. Like, yeah,
right about
yeah,
now, you know.
Because right,
I can be Chris the Wide Man on the podcast, you know.
I propose. I do the curses. Party man. Bomba clot.
I don't know what those means, but they might be racist also.
All right, both of you guys.
I think bomber class, like shoot the white guy or something, right?
You were former.
As long as it's me.
Exactly.
As long as it's shooting a white guy, yeah.
We're the white guys. Yeah. Shoot us, please. Lewis, go ahead.
We're former. You know. I don't want to say enemies, but you guys, you know, there's
rivals.
A rivalry there for sure, right? I think now is a great time to propose a Bisping Weidman pirate impression challenge.
Pirate impression? Are you kidding me? He probably knew about this. What is a pirate?
I have no idea.
Rebecca, get me my eye patch. No, come on, Lewis. Jamal Hill, Paul Craig, who you got?
I don't really know much about Jamal Hill either. So, you know, and I just want to hear you do the Paul Craig impression again one more time. So I'm going to.
Paul Craig's absolutely fucking ridiculous. So he is. Okay.
That's unbelievable. I love it. You should just talk like that all the time.
Oh, can do, Chris. No problem. Damian Maya versus Bilal Muhammad. Bilal Muhammad, as we know, remember the show. He's a great guy. Do you know Bilal?
Yeah, oh yeah, man. He's unbelievable. He's all over Instagram, and he's got his own show, and I did a show before. Yeah.
He's cool.
Great guy, yeah.
Yeah, he's awesome. And he's on a tour. Obviously, he was the last man to fight Leon. We all know what happened there. That was a shame. With respect to Bilal, it was a good start for Leon, but still, Bilal's a great grappler, heavy hands as well, uses his hands to set up his takedowns, but he's going up against Damian Maya. You fought Damian Maya as well. Damian's been around forever. I mean, one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. A true martial artist. Very, very respectful human being. And I really have got so much time and respect for Damian Maya. But he's, you know, you've always got to choose your words carefully. But I think he's coming towards the end of his career. How do you see this going down, Chris?
Do you know off the top of your head, how did he do in his last fight?
Maya?
Yeah, do we know?
He lost to Gilbert Burns.
Oh, he lost. That's right.
He got
that's
knocked
right. Yeah,
out with the left.
That was a tough last. That's a tough last fight. And I feel like Bilal's got a lot of energy behind him right now. A lot of momentum riding. Even though that happened with his last fight, I just feel like his energy is high. Man, I love Damian Maya, but I feel like anytime people start counting out Damian Maya, he just surprises people. If I had to pick somebody, I'd probably say Bilal Muhammad.
Lewis?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think Bilal, it's unfortunate. It was an IPO. It was an injury, right, in that last fight, how it ended?
Yeah.
And I know I think he was losing the fight regardless.
He was. It was early on.
By the way, it's Leon. Leon's a fucking beast, right? And I think we're going to see that again this weekend. So it's no shame in losing to Leon. And he actually was looking pretty decent against Leon. I think there's something to be said there. I think he's more of a dynamic fighter. He has more ways to win. I think that he'll be able to obviously avoid probably avoid being taken down altogether. So yeah, I think he's going to probably have exciting.
I kind of agree with you both. I mean, obviously Damian Maya, you got to watch him. He's a slippery customer. He's got that jiu-jitsu, you know, some of the best we've ever seen. You never know, but.
And I don't think his boxing is terrible either. Like I feel like everybody just paints him as this complete just jiu-jitsu guy, but I don't think his boxing is that bad. I don't think he has power in his hands to where he's knocking people out, but he's competitive on the feet.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Certainly always improved over the years. And the one thing about Damian, he doesn't really detract from his game plan. He knows what his skill is and he knows he uses hands maybe, but these days shoots him for that single leg. And then from there, he's absolutely relentless. I mean, you know, you've been in the ring with him. So I got Bilal as well. All right, next one is probably the people's main event. Leon Edwards taking on Nate Diaz. Nate Diaz, I haven't seen him in almost 2 years or maybe even longer. 2019 against Pettis. Or was it Masvidal? No, Masvidal. think that was his last fight. Time away from the octagon. Got, well, fine at 170, which he sometimes fights at, but I think he's a small 170. Going up against Leon Edwards, who's on a tear. 8 wins in a row, 1 no contest due to an eye poke. He's the bigger guy. He's athletic. He's probably got crisper striking. He's got no weak areas. Again, I'm being disrespectful to Nate Diaz.
Bro, let's see where he goes. I'm just going to let you talk.
Skinny, fat Stockton slapper walking in there. He ain't got a fucking chance in hell. I'm joking. Chris, how do you see it?
That's not going to be on the headlines.
I know.
Skinny, fat Stockton slapper.
Oh, and now you said it? I'll never say those words. Even if,
oh, my God.
You guys are crazy.
Oh, shit.
All right, who do I got? Shoot. Man, it's just crazy. I don't know. I just can't believe that Nate Diaz even took this fight because Leon Edwards isn't like the biggest name. He's a real prom as far as a martial artist. He's on a crazy tear. He's got a lot to prove. He's got a chip on his shoulder. I mean, shit. I just think it's a crazy fight for him. But, I mean, yeah, I'm going to have to go with Leon Edwards. But Nate Diaz is one of the best fighters I've ever seen.
Yeah. Look, it's a 5-round fight, right?
I don't disrespect fighters.
Come on. I mean, you're sitting on that fence. You're playing the politician angle here. You know, you're picking Leon, but you're like, and he's one of the best fighters I've ever seen. It's just that Leon's that good. Smart. You're a smart man. You're a smart man. Lewis, go ahead.
How many times has Leon Edwards been in 5-round fights? Has it just been one?
I'm not sure, but he's...
I don't think cardio is an issue for him at all. Nah. But I will say that Nate Diaz is a different animal that I will...
Nate Diaz is the same guy in the 5th round that he is the 1st round, right? Mm-hmm. And that I think that's he's a pressure fighter as well. There's something there. I'm just saying people, I think, are counting Nate Diaz out when he has way better of a chance. I'd love to see the odds on that one as well because I bet you Leon's a massive favorite. And I bet you that Nate Diaz is being disrespected by the odd makers as well. Not only Bisping disrespects him, the odds makers disrespect him. Yeah. Chris Weidman refuses to disrespect the Diaz brothers.
He ain't
brothers.
Stockton slapping me. He's slapping you guys.
I know. He's coming for me.
Yeah.
But, I obviously have to pick Leon Edwards. But Bisping had theorized this, which is that he thinks, and Nate also sort of confirmed this, that he was probably offered, look, come in and beat Leon Edwards after a long layoff. You're guaranteed a title shot right after this. So he came in, and that's probably why he took that fight. And I'd love to get your... take on that theory.
Well, I'm going to jump in there. Sorry. See, the thing is, Nate wants to fight for the belt. Everyone wants to fight for the belt. And, you know, he's only interested in big fights. So they'd probably say, well, hold on. You need to beat a contender at 170. There's Leon Edwards. You beat him, you get to fight for the belt. And on the flip side, I was talking about this last week, the only thing hurting Leon Edwards is he's a tremendous fighter. He's got all the skills in the world and all the attributes you're looking for in a future world champion. But he's not a big star. He's not a household name. You know, and he's a man of very, very few words. But if he goes out there on a big pay-per-view, because this is going to do big numbers, you got Diaz, you got Adesanya, and beats Nate Diaz, Monday morning, he's a household name in mixed martial arts in the United States. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, he takes some of that star power. Yeah. So it's genius matchmaking from the UFC.
Right.
It really is.
I wasn't thinking about that at all, but you're absolutely right. I think now that you mention it, it's completely genius. It's a win-win for the UFC, no matter who wins.
Yeah,
of course. Nate Diaz is still a star, even if he loses. You know, he's still going to fight Conor next or, you know, if he happens to lose or Poirier or Gaethje. He's still going to be in there with those guys no matter what. But in order for Leon Edwards to get there, he needs a guy like Nate Diaz, you know.
On his resume.
Because it's amazing that, like, even though he doesn't really, you know, he's not like the craziest personality or anything, he's not talking trash. It's amazing what, like, it will do for him. If he beats Nate Diaz, he will become a star, you know.
Yeah, no.
It'll be huge for him.
Without question. And I did say that Leon would make a mockery of him, and there is a potential for that. But I did also say, but you never know with Diaz, because I think he is outmatched. But the one thing he's got that you can't be taught, he's got heart for days. Yeah. He's got conditioning. We all know about the triathletes. Of course, he's very, very good jujitsu. He's got a great chin, and he's got balls. He'll walk people down. He'll get in their face, you know. So you put all that together, yes, I'm picking Leon. You know, and I'm doing what you did. I'm doing exactly what you did, Chris. I'm giving a caveat. I'm giving a way out. I'm giving Smart myself guy. An excuse when Nate and Nick and all their posse get me up against the wall and they're about to kick the shit out of me.
Giving you
on.
A wedgie.
Hold on. I said...
Listen to episode 265 of the Believe You Me podcast.
You might get him in the 4th and 5th round due to conditioning, okay? So, yeah. No, I got Leon.
I do. Yeah, I mean... You guys are making good points. I do think Nate Diaz, he can just make fights ugly. I feel like he's outmatching a lot of his fights. I think athletically, yeah, he's outmatching almost every one of the fights I've seen him win. Masvidal really just, he put a beating on him. I mean, that was an obliteration, and that was probably the worst I've ever seen him look, where he was picked apart, you know, their entire fight. I did start, there was hopes of like, oh my God, it looks like he's maybe coming back here. And then the cut happened, but, he could get dominated, but he doesn't stop. You know, he's always going to keep going forward. So how does Leon Edwards deal with Nate Diaz running after him like a zombie and taking punches to the head? Does he go for takedowns and then deal with the jiu-jitsu, or does he just try to lay in heavy with punches or just stick and move?
Well, this is it. And the thing that's hurting Leon is that he hasn't got very many finishes either. That's another thing to consider. The reason I bring that up is because if you're not getting a lot of finishes, I mean, listen, we know, Chris, just because you don't get the finishes doesn't mean you don't hit hard. But when you're not getting finishes and that is going against you, that would kind of imply that he's not the hardest hitter. And if you're not the hardest hitter, then Diaz will continue to walk you down. So as you say, you never know. Hey, listen, you bring up a good point.
I'm going Nate Diaz. Nate Diaz is winning this fight. Official prediction.
Nate Diaz is winning the fight. There you go. Me too. Right, me too. Nate Diaz is going to make a mockery out of Leon Edwards.
Beautiful.
I'm joking. I got Leon all day.
I got both of them hating you.
Yeah, exactly. No, Leon's going to do it.
Because Leon's going to be tagged in that one. And then Nate will be tagged in the other one.
All right. We got a rematch. Figueiredo, Moreno. First fight was sensational. There was a point deduction in round three that caused it to be a draw. How do you see this one, Chris?
Wait, who had the point deduction?
Figueiredo. I think he kicked him or kneed him in the balls.
So he lost the point.
Yes.
All right, I'm going to go with how do we say his name? Figueiredo?
We'll figure it out.
Figueiredo. Right? Figueiredo.
Luis?
Yeah, I'm going with him.
I mean, look, you got to almost like, look, that fight was crazy exciting, but it wasn't truly a draw. Figueiredo won the fight. He fucked up, right? And you know, that's not to take away from Brandon Moreno. Moreno's a beast. He's so exciting. He doesn't look like he's going to be he looks like such a little, I don't want to say nerdy,
but
he looks like a pipsqueak. He does. And then he's just this fucking animal.
He's got those Funko Pops. Did you watch the Embedded? He's got this.
Did you see that thing today? It was on Twitter. You probably didn't see it. I'm a nerd. I follow every bloody MMA account out there. And it said, you wouldn't think that these two guys were fighting for their world title fight this weekend. And it was a split screen. And in the top one, Figueiredo's, because I think he's a hairdresser. So he's cutting someone's hair.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Well, is that like an English thing? Is he a hairdresser or is he a barber?
No, he's a hairdresser. He was doing the woman's hair.
Wow.
Yeah, he's doing a woman's hair level. And he's that's got it out level. And he's got like the straighteners on her and he's like, oh.
Stop. And, he's got the curlers and the straighteners.
I think you need to take a little bit of this and you got to do that. And then in the one below it, you got Brandon Moreno sitting there with his fucking Lego set. I swear to God.
That is awesome.
These two are the baddest flyweights on the planet. It's great. Yeah.
Well, guys. You know, when you're a little guy, you have to come up with hobbies, you know, other things to focus on, you know.
Well, for him,
he says you're not a man unless you're over 200 pounds.
For you guys, it's Legos. For him, it's building real furniture.
Yeah, no, exactly. He's having a workout when he's doing that.
So, obviously, Figueiredo was winning that fight. He won that fight. It was just super exciting. It was a crazy exciting fight, and I'm glad we're seeing it again because more than likely, it's going to be a crazy exciting fight again. But it's almost like the rematch didn't really need to happen. But Figueiredo, I think, wins this one.
Well, the rematch needed to happen. It was a draw, and it was a great fight. So anytime that happens, they're going to do that.
And then else is there? There's probably not much. There's not many other contenders, going on.
I don't think so. But one thing to consider is, though, if you remember, Figueiredo fought to a draw with Moreno, but it was only – they're crazy names to keep saying after one another in a podcast. Figueiredo, Moreno.
You're doing good, though.
But 3 weeks before, this is going to blow your mind. This is why I get the big bucks as the analyst. I'm joking. 3 weeks before, he fought in a world title fight, right? He fought 3 weeks just before that. And
Figueiredo had a title fight 3 weeks
He went straight, so two title fights in 3 weeks. Wow. That's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of training. That's a lot of overtraining, Chris, a lot of wear and tear on the body. So I think maybe there's a case that he was a little burned out going into that fight. But of course, he was confident. He had the momentum. You know, you got Dana, you know, dangling another big fat check in front of you. It's hard to turn that down. You know what I'm saying? So now he's going to be rested. He's had almost 7 months since that fight. I think he's going to come in here. And listen, I love Brandon Moreno. I see him at the Apex quite a lot. Great kid, hell of a fighter. But I think Figueiredo gets it done.
Yeah, I'm with you. Why do they hate each other so bad? Do you know that? Did you see that? I just seen that. They hate each other. They said if we see each other, we're fighting. Like there better be security around. I don't know. I didn't know.
I think Figueiredo did his wife's hair and it didn't go very well.
Messed up the perm.
All right. So that brings us. We've already talked about this. We already know. Adesanya versus Vittoria. I've got Vittoria winning this. I'll just jump in right off the top. I've got Adesanya winning this. But I think we already said it. Vittoria's going to give him some problems. You think Adesanya as well, Lewis, right?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I'm rooting for Vittoria. I really like him. He's a friend of the show. He comes on the show, and he's a very funny personality. And even though we trashed his shirt the other day, I liked his weird African shirt. It was cool.
No, I liked it as well. So let's just assume that we've already made our picks. We've talked about the fight. We've done it for a couple of weeks now as well. And it's going to be a great fight. I'm very excited for it. But let's just assume for 1 second that Adesanya goes out there, gets a victory at the weekend. And by the way, one thing I love about Adesanya as well, which he doesn't get enough credit for, is the frequency of how much he fights. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, a lot of people, when they get the belt, you don't see them too often. Because every time you fight, you might lose the title. And when you lose the title, you lose all the circus and the pomp and everything that goes with it.
A lot of sponsors, you start losing money from.
Sponsors, the appearances and all the rest of it.
The pay-per-view money.
And you can drag that out because you want that experience to last longer. I got to say, Adesanya, he's fighting all the time. So God bless him. But let's just assume that he beats Vittoria at the weekend. Who do you think he fights next? It's got to be Whitaker, right?
Yeah, I'm going. Yeah, Whitaker. I think I seen Dana actually. He said that. Whitaker posted it on Instagram, and I commented. I was like, I know that feels good to hear. To actually hear Dana say, no, Whitaker's definitely getting it. Nobody's skipping him. You don't ever really hear Dana be so solidify something like that.
Yeah.
No, he deserves it, man. His last fight, he looked great. He looked the best I've ever seen him.
He did.
He deserves it now, to be honest. I mean, Vittori's definitely skipped it.
Well, he turned it down, right? That's what happened.
Asked him just to do it. He needed to do it in June, and he, for whatever reason, wasn't ready to do it. He does seem like he's chill with waiting. He's not in a rush. And it's nice that Dana said he's going to get the fight anyway. So I guess it works. It's going to work out for him.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. But listen, hey, you never know. Vittori might go out there and prove us all wrong because he's certainly capable of doing that. So, all right. Well, listen, we'll wrap this up. Chris, I got to say thank you so much for joining us. That was absolutely fantastic.
We don't often ask everyone to stay an hour on the show.
No. So let me ask you.
I don't think you asked me. Is that how long I've been on here?
Probably longer. Oh, wow. I'm like, Jesus, when is he going to hang up?
Anytime. Now, you guys got to come on my podcast.
I was just going
to
say.
You to take your eyeball out for me on my podcast.
No. Hey, Chris, if you ask, I'll do it. But what's the name of the podcast one more time? And listen.
Won't back down.
Won't back down.
With Chris Weidman.
Shoot me a message anytime. I would love to jump on.
My man, cool. I appreciate that.
All right, well, listen, enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the fights.
Thank you. You too.
And let's do this again soon sometime.
Let's do it. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Thank you, Chris. You take care, buddy. All the best. And we'll sign off on all that good stuff. But look after yourself. Thanks again. Really appreciate it.
Yep. Take care.
And there he is, the great Chris Weidman. Hey, that was awesome. That was great.
That was awesome. He was the best. Before we go, we got to plug a few things.
Yes.
Timmy Fit, the competition.
Of course.
Coming up. June 15th is our competition. It will be in the, you got to download the app. It will be in this episode's description on YouTube and I believe on iTunes as well. So click the link and download the Timmy Fit app. We're going to be, if you guys don't know, we've been talking about it for a little while now. Are you bragging about how many steps you've done? I see.
No. I've just got the actual parameters of what the competition is.
Okay, please.
So first of all, you got to go to the App Store and download the app. TIMI. Because I know I saw somebody in the comments, TIMMY. They're like, I can't find this app. I can't find it. Easy mistake to make. TIMI. By the way, I could be getting this wrong, but I believe the Timmy, I think it's Latin for honor. I think that's what it is, and that's where it comes from. That's kind of his brand. So it's Timmy Fit. Download the app, and you're going to join the BYM Timmy Fit competition, which starts on June 15th. Now, as we said, Timmy Fit, when you work out, you wear a smart device. I've got one on here, Fitbit. Apple Watch. There's other ones as well, whichever
or even
one
just
it is.
The app as well on your phone.
Yeah, that does work better with a smart device though, because you can do other things, you know, like your weight training and all the rest of it. So you'll still earn points. But from August 1st, the Timmy bits that you get rewarded in, you'll be able to then transfer them into Ethereum or Bitcoin or Cardano and things like that, and be able to pay for real goods and purchases. We're basing this competition on distance, so steps and running. And Lewis is right. Your app will record all of that stuff by itself. So far, Lewis, what have you done? Go to your app.
I'll go to the app right now. Let's see. I mean, you've definitely done more than me because I've
No. You're the hardcore worker router. You're going to beat Jason Ellis's ass. I have done 17 miles 53 this
17
week.
Miles 53?
Yeah. You see that?
32 miles 43 this week.
Well, that's a lie because you've been with me the whole time and we ran together. No, I'm joking.
69. No, but did I run more than you?
But are you looking at steps or distance?
Distance is 32.43 miles.
Oh, well, maybe you have done. Who knows? You've gone a little blurry now, though. But yeah, so still, so that's how it's going to work. So you download the app, you join this BYM competition, and we're all going to be there. So you'll see our names. You'll be able to, there'll be a leaderboard. You'll be able to compete on there. Harrington's going to be on there. Brian's going to be on there. And as I say, going forward, you want to implement this into your life, because if you work out, which you need to work out, and this is going to give you motivation to do so, you're going to get rewarded in cryptocurrency. And with the BYM competition, June 15th, it kicks off for a month. First place gets $250 in a signed book. Second place gets $125. Third place, $75. Fourth place, $50. Everyone will get a t-shirt in the top four. All four of you will throw in a BYM merch t-shirt as well. By the way,
dude, we'll do, how about this? Top 10, we'll throw in a t-shirt.
Top 10 gets a t-shirt. There you go. By the way, we sent out the signable gloves, so don't give us none of that nonsense. Have faith. Have faith. But yeah.
Do you know people give Bisping a lot of shit because of how much you bring up people?
No, that was my fault. It took us a year to get the gloves out. Do you know what I mean? But they did get there. But still, you are going to accumulate the Timmy bits, which will be.
This is immediately. You don't have to wait for us to send anything out. No, you're going to. It's an immediate automatic thing.
But you're going to get the Timmy bits anyway, which, as I say, from August 1st will be interchangeable to Ethereum, crypto, and Bitcoin and all that stuff. Plus, for the competition, cash prizes, $250 for first, $125, $75, and $50. Plus, we're going to throw in some books, t-shirts, all that stuff. So, realistically, if you're looking for some reason to get motivated, you want to shift a few pounds, or you just want to have some fun joining with the spirit and the community of the podcast, then please do it. Go to the App Store, download the TimmyFit app, and we'll see you there. But in the meantime, if you want to come watch me in October and Lewis in October, go to myticket.co.uk, buy the tickets, buy the t-shirts from bymmerch.com. Lewis, anything to sign off on?
Yeah, please. Also, lewisofskanks.com. I'm going to be touring a lot this spring and this summer and this fall. I'll be in San Diego in July, South Jersey, and the Jersey Shore in July as well. So lewisofskanks.com. And make sure you guys go subscribe on iTunes, leave us a 5-star rating, positive review, subscribe on our YouTube channel. And of course, if you guys want the complete on-demand library, both ad-free and uncensored, get every episode of the Believe in Me podcast from the beginning, gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use that promo code BYM. Get yourself a 7-day free trial.
And we'll be back on Monday with a wrap-up of all the action that happens this weekend. Thanks again to Chris Wyman. What a great guest. He was awesome. Great talking to Chris. All the best with the recovery. And ladies and gentlemen, enjoy your weekends. And Lewis has his finger up.
Well, I just want to say thank you, Bisping, for bringing myself, Brian, and Harrington, and Diego into your home. You have been a very gracious guest. We all bust balls and all that stuff, but your family's always incredible, and the experience of us getting to train with you guys at Ruka and at the UFC gym, it's incredible. So those guys are awesome as well. So I just want
to thank you for the show. I'm really just excited to know what kind of gift you're going to get me. You know what I mean? I can't wait.
You're getting your graduation gift on your daughter's graduation.
I've done a lot for you guys this week. I'm just like, what gift will I get? It's going to be great. You know what I mean? I can't wait. Guys, take care. See you Monday.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.